Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living.
Why God chooses to use some and not others who seemingly have far greater talents and abilities has never been completely clear to me. The fact is that God often uses individuals who have very little in the natural to recommend them. I think of Gideon, who demanded a sign from God, and Barak, the military leader who wouldn't face the enemy unless a woman went with him. Rahab, the prostitute. Remember, she was of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Include the 12 who were common fishermen, farmers, tax collectors, and laborers who walked with Jesus, along with St. Augustine, Mary Slessor, the Scottish lass who left such a mark on Africa in the 19th century, and on and on. But two common threads seem to be evident. Men and women who are used by God in some measure or capacity are people of simple faith, and they have lives characterized by complete obedience. No one better exemplifies these two characters than a man who lived almost 4,000 years ago, Abraham, the man who became known as the friend of God. It was Martin Luther who said that faith is a lively, reckless confidence in God. And it was this kind of faith that marked Abraham's devotion to God. Hebrews 11 catalogs him in the roster of men and women of faith, saying simply, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go up out of a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he was going." Four words summarize his life. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Naturally, Abraham is loved and admired by all people. After all, who doesn't admire a Billy Graham, a Mother Teresa, a George Mueller, or the missionary who lives in poverty, bringing healing to suffering humanity? But many of us stop with admiration and seldom embark on the journey of faith ourselves. We tend to be much like G.K. Chesterton, a giant of a man who was an ardent admirer of mountain climbers. But Chesterton once said, "I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, but I will not take my carcass thither." Are you that way when it comes to trusting God? You admire those who step out and follow God, but some way you think that those who do are kind of a cut above you spiritually. What God expected of Abraham, he still expects of you. Now, the way you respond may be different, but when you are confronted with the will of God for your life, as was Abraham, you have the same choice to make that he had to make. It is simply one of two things: obedience or disobedience. Indifference is the highest form of insult when God wants you to do something. Our problem, however, is we want options. We think of God's will as one of a variety of choices, when in reality the choice is simply the path of obedience or disobedience. It is little wonder that Jesus said, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path that leads to life." God's plan for your life is intensely personal. It includes your marriage, how you treat your husband or wife. It includes how you raise your children, the way you spend your money, what you do with your time. Frankly, the will of God never has been a negotiable commodity. It was not for Abraham. It isn't for you or me. A knowledge of God's will demands decision, and decision results in either obedience or disobedience. When you make the decision to really follow Him, and you commit yourselves to that, it's amazing how simple other things become.
You've just heard Dr. Harold Sala with Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living. If you would like to listen to the program again, download a copy, subscribe to our e-commentary, or view other resources, visit guidelines.org. We would like to hear from you, too. You can email us at info@guidelines.org. That's info@guidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again for the next edition of Guidelines.